Hi, I'm small business owner Adam Carolla. I'm standing in my studio. I built this studio. Actually, we all kind of built this studio because you guys supported me and my podcast, and we started a nice small business with a handful of friendly employees who aim to please. Unfortunately, they're guys called patent trolls. What do? Honestly, I still don't know. They buy up patents and then they use them to get money out of businesses. And in this case, a podcast, a small podcast. Well, normally people settle up with these guys because it's so expensive to fight these guys in court. Well, guess what? We're gonna circle the wagons, band together, and come out throwing punches. Here's my plan. We all band together, all the podcasts, because remember, if I go down, well, then your favorite podcast is going down next. And we're gonna all fall like dominoes. But if we all unify and stand and fight together, we can beat the trolls. But we can't do it alone. We need your support. Go to fundanything.com/patent troll and let's smash the trolls.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Niggas in my faction don't like asking questions. Strictly gun testing, coke measuring, giving pleasure in the Benzito, hitting fannies, spending chips at Manny's. Hope you creeps got receipts. My peeps get dirty like cleats.
Run up yeah.
in your crib, wrap you in your polo sheets.
You feeling
that? In your wig piece.
How can you not?
Why? May you rest in peace with yeah. my sycamore style.
I'll take
more
that kid.
Than yours.
Mariam Tazi in the house.
Malcolm Riddle in the house.
That's what's up. And we got my main man, the hip hop restaurateur, Rick Marrero in the house.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
Rick's feeling it. He's got his hat on backwards, you know what I mean?
Doesn't he always?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He does it in the restaurant, holding it down. Yeah,
I do.
Really? With your chef jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
He's got his chef jacket on, you know what I mean?
That's pretty badass.
That's right. Looking like a Jedi up in here. Or better yet, a Chinese kung fu fighter.
You got a picture of me with no hat on.
I actually, that was the first time I've ever seen you without a hat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't have the hat on that day.
You have really dark hair.
Yeah.
Do you dye it?
No. No.
Yet?
No, never.
What's up? Yeah, no. He's got the hat on, man. Even the customers made comment about the hat, huh?
Yeah.
He didn't like
What'd
that.
What did they say?
Some of the older people don't get it.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's all. It's just me not taking myself too seriously.
That's good.
That's right. He adds his own flavor. You know what I mean?
That's why he's a hip hop restaurateur.
That's how I. That's how I coined him.
I like that.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
So yeah, here we go. Let's get this thing started. I hate turning off big.
I know. Never seen Cristal pour faster. Miss him. Until the bastards, knucklehead squeeze let. Three of my dead. Nothing yeah. left to do but tear they ass to shreds. Leave them in bloodshed. Incidents like this, I take trips. Lay up in Miami with Tamika and Tammy. That's what I'm talking about. Tamika and Tammy. I gotta find them. Tamika and Tammy, if you listen probably
to this.
Old now.
If you listen to this podcast. Find me. Hook, you know, I mean, come on. Hook a brother up.
All the Tamikas will come out.
Tamika, Tammy. I don't even know any Tamika or Tammys anymore. You?
I've been a minute. Not since high school.
Yeah. The name isn't.
You don't know many people like that when you're older.
No.
When you're in high school, yeah, I knew a lot of Tamikas.
I'm sure they're out there. We got to find them. So here we go, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. On to the next. And, yeah, thanks for tuning in. So, sitting up here, thinking, playing that song. Let's just get down to it.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Here we go.
Should we get down to it
I
right?
I mean, you obviously want to.
Right now. The word on the street.
Uh-oh.
Okay, people? You guys have heard it. Maybe you haven't. You know, I got my ear to the streets. That's just me, you know. International player of all time. You know. The word on the street, Rick Marrero, is that Rick Ross...
I want to hit
you know
his
mean?
Opinion, too.
Rick Rose, is that his name? What is his name? So he got a many names, right?
I don't know.
What's his real name?
They're saying, they're claiming certain people in the hip-hop community and in the entertainment business, they're claiming that Rick Ross is the heir to the throne and is, the vote is, he's the next Biggie. What do you guys think? This it's sitting at this council, at this table. You know what I mean? What's your thoughts on that?
No.
Yeah, that's straight up. Hell no.
Yeah.
No way. There's no way.
I tell you, and where I got this information, I listened to a couple other podcasts, and big shout out to my main man, Charlie Murphy, the Charlie Murphy podcast found on iTunes. And they were having a debate, him and Sean Wayans and Freeze Love. You know what I mean? I mean, they got cred, right?
Yeah.
They've been around. But all of them, I even sense some hesitation, but all of them agreed that his flow is as good.
No way.
Which I almost have to question their credibility now. You know what I mean? Because, A, here's the deal. Here's where I have a problem. Here's where I have a problem with Rick Ross, all right? I'm not saying he doesn't have a style that's unique to his own and his listeners, and he's built up an audience, but I have a problem with it when it comes to something that I think is gone from hip-hop, is that public shaming, which we know as of biting, okay? When an MC, this was the law of hip-hop. Is it one of the things that you don't do is bite from someone. And the first thing that he did right off the bat, he took someone else's identity. Now, granted, it does happen. People want to be like John Gotti. People want to be like Al Capone. People want to be like, you know what I mean? It's all in their raps. It's been like that since the beginning of time, right? Or since the beginning of rap music and hip hop.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he took the complete identity and kind of bamboozled everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I can sidestep away that he was a cop or
correctional officer.
Yeah. I mean, brothers got to make people got to make money. You know what I mean? If he's got skills lyrically, if he's an artist, I respect that. I don't have an issue with that. But when you do acknowledge that you've taken someone else's identity, you know what I mean, and that person is alive and that person isn't receiving any benefits from that. And you're making millions, and you're passing yourself off as a player, a gangster. You know what I mean? That's where I have issue with.
I think that shows how soft hip-hop is right now. Because you couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that in the 80s and 90s.
No.
You could not. Especially the 80s. I mean, if you bit, they would be. I mean, it was just a public shaming. It was a public shaming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You couldn't do it. You wouldn't even think about doing it.
I think the money and the fame, the egos, the narcissism that exists today in today's society just turns a blind eye at it. But the reason why I'm making a big deal about it is because that kind of – it's showing you which direction – I mean, is this headline news? Is this something we should be concerned about, Russia or something but at the same time, this bothers me because on a creative level, and if this is what we're feeding children, that it's okay to do stuff like that, then I think there's some issues.
Right.
I do.
Well, you talk about that all the time, about there's no more originality. Mm-hmm. There's also nobody running hip hop. I mean, Diddy stepped away. He was, quote unquote, the godfather. When Biggie was alive, and even after, you couldn't go anywhere, do anything, or talk about hip hop without talking about Diddy. He stepped back now from that.
But isn't everybody, he involved with Rick Ross?
Yes,
though?
Which is shame on him.
Right.
But he did that too with Shine. I don't know if you remember Shine.
Yeah.
Shine sounded just like Biggie.
Yeah, before he went to the joint.
Yeah, before, just like Biggie, and he caught a lot of flack for that too. But Diddy was behind that too. He's trying to make money off of his old go-to, Biggie.
Yeah, right. Cash cow.
Exactly.
Who's not around anymore. I mean, he did the Life After Death. He did the albums. He's holding on to every last string. He's got the money. I don't know why. I don't know the man. I'm not accusing him of doing anything. But just let it go at this point.
Yeah.
You're not paying homage to his memory by...
It's almost insult now, you know? Don't add insult to injury.
He would, if Biggie were alive, I don't think he'd appreciate it too much.
Of course not.
So why do it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a bizarre but twist and turn.
But think about this, though. It's new to somebody, right?
Yeah.
So Rick Ross being Biggie is new to a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, so, your children, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 What was that?
I got the delivery.
A delivery. Okay.
Yeah, so folks, here's the deal, just for the listeners. Listening, we're broadcasting out of Desiderio. Desiderio is an Italian-American grill out of Gainesville, VA. And Rick Marrero is nice enough to host us and host the podcast. So this podcast is brought to you by Desiderio.
Nice.
That's right. Italian-American eatery. Great place. Come out here. I actually do wine tastings out here Friday evenings. Yeah, it's a cool little family-owned business that I think he's doing a good job at.
It's a great place.
Yeah, and a good cappuccino.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? We're drinking right now. I polish mine off in like one gulp. I don't even know. What's the brand of this cat? You guys were talking cappuccino talk before.
It's Lavazza.
Lavazza. It's good stuff.
Delicious coffee. Some of the best.
He's got a whole machine back there. It's like chrome. It's got all sorts of buttons and
it's
stuff.
All blinged out.
Yeah. Fancy. Yeah. It spins. You know what I mean? It's spinning. I was just telling the folks that if there's interruptions, it's because, you know, you're a man at work. And the show must go on even throughout the podcast. But what were we talking about?
Rick Ross.
We're talking about Rick Ross and biting. And
I watched that video that you posted.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I couldn't believe, like you said, that Diddy was involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't have a problem with people making money and creating stuff, and it's been done. You know what I mean? People remake movies, people remake TV shows. If someone gets kicked off a TV show like Charlie Sheen, they bring in Ashton Kutcher. You know what I mean? To parlay off that success. So it's been done. So why not in rap? You know what makes rap so sacred? But that's the point. I think that's what made rap and hip hop so unique is the fact that it is something that's sacred. The only thing that's as sacred as hip hop and rap is comedy. Comedians are the same way. They hold the same law of if you steal someone's joke, they will publicly shame you to death. Ask Joe Rogan, because they just don't do it, and they still hold that law. You know what I mean? It's still enforced.
It's respect.
But when you, when you're trying to pass yourself off and I guess you could use the term exploit the life and death of someone, then there's an issue there. Paying homage to it, that's fine.
That's different.
You know what I mean? And that when I look at that video, I can see that side of it. But when you know the history and the track record of fake Rick Ross, then there's the issue.
Yeah, paying I say homage.
Homage.
Paying homage.
We had this discussion earlier.
Paying homage is one thing. Paying homage is homage. Snoop remaking Lottie Dottie.
Yeah.
That and then having Dougie Fresh on stage during the show.
Exactly.
That's paying homage.
That's right. A little respect and nod. Yeah. A tip of the hat.
Yeah, because you know what? And then who's going to defend, you know, Biggie's memory or defend him, come to his defense now? No one, because it's about money. No one wants to step on anybody's toes. You never know who you're going to upset, and you could need those people. Back when hip-hop first started, you didn't care who you upset. You were true to your art. That's what it came from your heart. You created it. You owned it. And if someone took that, it was very personal.
Yeah.
Very personal. Now,
it's doing money. It for the money.
It's just like it's something that's like mass produced in a factory. There's no personal touch behind it. There's no emotion behind it. I'm going to put out albums so I can make money. You know, when you have some artists that haven't put out half a dozen albums in 20 years.
Yeah.
Because it takes them
it's about the craft.
Others are just pumping them out because they can do no wrong, or you know, they're going to make money regardless.
Right. Also, they're big now, so it's like use it to the fullest, get as much money out of
it as
possible.
I think the best thing that could have happened to hip hop in the last 6 months is that I haven't heard anything from Lil Wayne.
Yeah, he's been guest starring on.
That's how he started out, doing a lot of these little things, but I'm glad he's not around.
Yeah.
I'm glad. You know, but now to have something like this come up, And I didn't know Biggie Smalls personally, but it's part of, you know, my childhood, in the 90s, growing up. And, you know, I feel bad for him. Yeah. I feel bad for that memory because it's, you know, people are not going to remember him the right way. You're going to remember him as Rick Ross or what, or Rick Ross's interpretation of what Biggie Smalls was.
And what he represented, you know, in that short period of time. I mean, the brother, would he die at 24, 25?
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, just a quick moment. Not many albums produced. I mean, a couple albums, right?
Yeah.
Two albums?
Just a couple, and then The Life After Death, yeah. And, you know, some other things. But,
remixes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, his impact is everlasting. And just so the listeners know why we are, again, I said we're broadcasting from Desiderio, and Rick, hip-hop restaurateur, is so involved in hip-hop is because that's some of the stuff that we talk about. Like, when we're mixing it up, when we're doing wine tastings, when we're talking business, we always kind of segue into stuff that we like and we enjoy and we grew up on. And Rick grew up in New York, right?
Yeah, the Bronx.
Right? The Bronx in the house.
The home of hip-hop.
That's right. The Bronx. You know what I mean? So that's what we end up talking about. We talk about movies. You know, Rick gave a shout-out to Man on Fire the other night online.
Oh, yeah.
You know, starring Denzel Washington, one of the greatest movies ever made that Mariam Tazi hasn't seen.
Oh. Yeah, well, when we saw that it was on TV, it was like halfway through.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was like, you can't start it now.
Yeah, you gotta watch it.
I'll get it.
This is stuff we talk about. Yeah, I mean, at some point, I'm sure we'll talk about the restaurant business, folks. But, you know, we're fueled by our passions. And these are some subjects that I think that we're passionate about.
I'm surprised, going back to something you said, that people as old as Charlie Murphy, and he said Sean Wayans,
yeah.
Would agree that.
Well, you know what it is? I think technology has everyone bamboozled. You know what I mean? They have them, and the fact that this shows you the lack of creativity that exists in rap music today is that everyone is so starved for what they once had. When they play something that is a remake or it's you know, just playing out biting, it kind of fills that void. You know what I mean? You're not getting the filet mignon. You're getting, you know, a gourmet bologna sandwich, but you don't know any different because they've layered it with all sorts of stuff. Right. Not saying that Rick Ross isn't, you know, a good artist, but I just think if you're talented, if you are artistic, you can come up with some, you know,
something of your own.
Yeah, that put your own stamp on it. You know what I mean? Here, let's just play a clip of the video real quick. The video is Rick Ross. I opened the show up with "You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You" by the late great Biggie Smalls, aka the Notorious B.I.G., aka Christopher Wallace. And now let's just hear a little snippet of Rick Ross's video.
Oh my God, they're turning around and coming back.
Okay.
I'm hanging up. Bye.
Okay, ma'am, how many shots did
you hear? I don't know, but they're coming back. I'm hiding.
We were being told by people here on the scene, specifically the manager, that a famous rapper was riding in that car when someone opened fire, shooting at
It's like a remake of Biggie's death.
Into that building, police cleaning up the shell casing markings that were here just a few moments ago.
I don't see
ago.
How that's respectful,
this is
though.
No.
Under investigation. Monday morning.
Well, it was rapid fire, 9 or 10 shots. You know,
I think it's
fire,
the complete opposite.
So as you guys know, Biggie Smalls, the Notorious B.I.G., was gunned down in Los Angeles. And on Rick Ross's video that we're playing right now, it's a remake of that scene. And here's Puffy.
You fucking walk around these roaches. These niggas is roaches. These niggas is mere motherfucking mortals. I'm trying to push you to supreme being. You don't want to motherfucking... You don't want to embrace your destiny. You want to get by. You don't want to go into the motherfucking dark where it's lonely. You can't handle the motherfucking, the pain of the motherfucking not knowing when shit is going to stop.
Mama trying to save me, but she don't know I'm trying to save her. Man, them niggas tried to play me. Man, till I got this paper. You're nobody, nobody till somebody kills you.
Blast for me, the last words from my nigga on the pavement. Born killers, body shivers, drug money. dollar figures. Hustlers moving out of rentals, all the war's mental. Having sushi down in Nobu, strapped like an Afghan soldier. Nowhere to go to, so it's bang. No survivors, only riders on my rider. Murder rate rises, stalking niggas on their IGs. Never IB, still solo, Under Armour, still polo. No wire, on fire.
All right, yeah, thank you.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I think I can, by the way you guys look.
Now, I will say this, if I didn't know any better,
yeah,
I would think that's all right.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but I would say it sounds different now because there's nothing like that now.
Yeah.
But it's also 20 years old.
Yeah.
15 years old.
They're banking on people not remembering.
Yeah. That his cadence and the way that's all Biggie.
Yeah, but
it's imitation.
He doesn't so much sound like him, but the way he's rhyming, the style.
Yeah.
I still think Biggie had a better flow.
It sounds like he's like Biggie.
But it doesn't sound as natural. You know what I mean? It sounds forced.
First of all,
like, that's the thing.
It wasn't, I mean, I never liked Rick Ross, but isn't he from the South? He's from Florida.
Mississippi, I think.
So is he considered a southern rapper?
Yeah. I don't know what he's considered.
I don't think
is he even considered a legit rapper? I mean, really?
Rick Ross, I don't know. That's big. See that intro right where he came in right there? That sounded like Biggie to me. Boom, boom. Dunna, 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 dunna.
But see, I think that's the point. I think that is the great illusion, and I think we're living in a time of illusionists, trickery, thievery. You know what I mean? We are living in a time. It's not just in hip hop. It's not just in music. It's not just in rap. It's in the corporations. It's
politics.
In what they're feeding you. It's in the politicians. It's everywhere. And if you're not thinking, if you're not using your third eye, I mean, you can get caught up into, just like you just said, believing that this is something that's original, that this is something that is good. This is not something that you know, he's walking on sacred ground of another man who died. I can guarantee you, can't guarantee you, but I can almost bet that those last moments of Christopher Wallace's life as he was bleeding out in that truck in L.A., I can guarantee you that he wasn't, he was wishing that things were different. You know what I mean? His opening rap about, being an Afghan soldier and you know, everything was murder, murder, murder. But there was no, he wasn't dropping science. He wasn't, connecting any dots. Where's he going with it? You know what I mean?
That's because he's rapping to a specific audience.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about Biggie and Rakim, and they talk about New York and their struggles, living in the projects, eating cereal with water. Kids now can't relate to that.
Yeah.
It's not on the news. You can relate to Afghanistan or being a soldier because you see it.
It's what you hear, and yeah.
So they're going to, even though I think that's disrespectful too, you can't, talking about comparing what you're doing in life to a soldier, especially during times of war, but they don't care.
I'm telling you, I have so many issues with stuff like this, especially lyrically, lyrically, just because, made no sense, but lyrically, first off, biting, but then when you get into the lyrics, I get it. I see he's trying to paint a picture. Everyone says Biggie painted pictures. He painted stories and, took you somewhere. I mean, but this is, to me, this is just a ripoff. I think we're all in agreement with that, and, we can move on from that. But just the state, the mind state of hip-hop, the mind state, and we're both fathers, the mind state of children that listens to this. So they're thinking they're going to eat at Nobu. They're not going to eat at Nobu.
Right.
You know what it takes to get a reservation at Nobu?
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to probably make that reservation a year in advance, unless you got just mad juice. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. East Coast or West Coast, Nobu. So Nobu's a famous restaurant, for those of you guys listening, guys and girls listening, in New York. I think there's one in L.A. and maybe somewhere else. But the point is, ain't no sushi worth it. You know what I mean? The fuck.
Well, that's my biggest problem. And you can't knock anybody for making money.
No.
And then
I don't knock the hustler.
Right. Coming up, but you got guys. Rakim will never, as of right now, hasn't, and hopefully will never talk about the what he's got on or where he what he lives in.
Well, I mean, even if when he does, even when he made the Rhythm hit him, yeah. or when he made when he made various songs, even portraying a gangster, you know what I mean? It was going somewhere. Yeah. The story was being told in a certain ass. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. He was dressed up as a 1930s or 20s gangster, you know, with the Tommy guns and stuff like that. But again, there was more originality in his storytelling, the way he would craft it. It wasn't just straight up gangsterism to kill, to murder, to maim, to, you know, go out and incite some sort of violence. If you hear something over and over and over again about carrying AKs and nines, and you know what I mean? If you hear something over and over again about wearing this or drinking that, you're going to – it's gonna. That's the seed that's being planted. You know what I mean? That's the seed. When I was coming up, and again, I hate to sound like Grandpa Riddle, but you know, when I was coming up, you would hear various things from various artists, whether it was DMC, you know, whether it was Tribe Called Quest, whether it was De La Soul. You know what I mean? Each had a different sound, different format. Rakim, KRS-One, and they were taking you. They were not only were they taking you somewhere, but there was an education factor in play. You know what I mean? There was something that was being said.
Soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about a clip of the GZA and how...
And GZA is
from Wu-Tang.
There you go.
And how they're trying to teach science through hip-hop. And one of the things he said at the beginning of it was that hip-hop was started to stop violence. Put down your colors. Come to the party.
Use lyrics instead of your fists, basically.
And now it didn't just start. It's been a long time now building up to the point where that's all that's talked about is violence and, you know, drugs. And people will say, well, that's because it's part of the culture. And the guys are just rapping about what they've gone through and how they've come up and what's around them. And to an extent, that's okay. But like you said, you know, the guns and the violence, it's the opposite of what hip-hop was intended.
And what do you see on the news every day? Yeah. It's not just in hip-hop. It's not just in the hood. It's not just in the black communities.
That's
what I mean?
It's an easy way out, though. That's just like cursing and, you know, saying fuck every other line. You're not a rapper. You're just filling in space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the easy way out. Well, I could rap about guns. I can rap because you see it on TV all the time. You don't have to have gone through it. And how many rappers... You know, Rick Ross was a correction officer, have really gone through half the stuff they talk about, and they don't have to anymore. No one's there to validate whether or not, you know, you're real, like in the 80s and 90s, where everybody knew each other, knew that if you were talking shit and you were never there or never did what you said, someone was going to call you out on it. Someone was going to say, no, you didn't do that. Or they're going to write their own rap in response to yours and call you out.
Yep.
I mean, how many, you know, MC Shan, KRS-One, Queensbridge, The Bridge Is Over, LL.
LL and Shan went at it.
LL, and then later on, LL and Cannabis.
LL and Cool Moe Dee.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back and forth.
LL
I mean,
one
person that really, because one person I think, again, I'll go back to Rakim every time. Nobody ever really wanted to mess with Rakim.
How can you?
They didn't even try.
How can you?
No one will ever disrespect. That's one guy that he might live to be 95.
And God
just
bless long, him.
Just so everybody remembers what hip hop was like.
I'll take the numbers. Best. I'll take my numbers off my forearm and give him extra minutes if he needs it. You know what I mean? What was that movie called?
Time.
Yeah.
I think Time.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I'll give him some extra. If it's Rakim, I'll give it to him. I got a shout out from his son. His son hit me up because I'm always promoting Rakim on social media. I'm assuming it's his son. I did some research, and it says, but he just said a little thank you note for, you know, supporting his dad and all this. So it's kind of cool to see
that. That's what Rick Ross needs. He needs a Rakim response.
Rakim is yeah.
But Rakim stays out of that though.
I'm on a quest to find to interview Rakim. Rakim has been coming to the D.C. area quite a bit over the past couple years, and I would love to sit down and get his view on the state of hip hop and how he sees it. But you're right. Some guys don't have to prove anything. Wrong. You know what I mean? I would love to, hit KRS-One up and see what his thoughts are. Hmm. I mean, KRS-One has famously said he's got a rhyme for every MC out there. You know, he will battle anyone. Could you imagine? Anytime.
He's like the James Brown of hip hop. He's the hardest working rapper in hip hop. Yeah. He's got a lot of albums under his belt.
He's got respect. Mm-hmm. People try to underestimate these cats because they're older. It's not, you have to respect your elders. And back to what you were saying about Gizza, the website, the clip that Rick was talking about, it's called The Genius of Science, and it's on TEDxTeen.com. It's fascinating because what he goes into, he's given a speech about hip-hop and how hip-hop is – how he's using hip-hop to influence teens to find out more about science, science is what's up now. You know, it's like the hot new. It's not even new. Science has been around forever. You know what I mean?
New.
But for some reason, and thank goodness that there is a part of the entertainment business that is gravitating towards education, an educational platform. So, Gizza, I always want to say GZA. Like, where's the G in ZA come? You know what I mean? Like, it's GZ. Is it just me?
It's Gizza.
Yeah. Gizza. Anyway, I don't know. I always see words and I'm just, I'm fucked
it's
up
like that. Homage
people.
And homage.
Yeah. Which one is it? Anyway, my bit. Trying to be funny. The YouTube clip is fascinating because he's talking to a group of high school students and they're engaged and they come up and they start emceeing. You know, they start educating about anything and everything science put into rhyme. And again, that brings us back to conscious rap. You know what I mean? But is conscious rap a money-making industry? You know what I mean? Conscious rap does not make you make the money as unconscious. You know what I mean? It won't. Money, hoes, and clothes will probably rule because that's what the corporations want. That's what the people want to feed you. When you start waking up a society and societies – and what's the first – one of the first rules – I don't know. I'm not a scientist. One of the first rules of science is what? Question everything, right? Now, if you have a group, a mass, a multitude.
Well, that's very dangerous.
Yes. There you go, Mariam Tazi. if you have a multitude of people that starts to question everything, then what?
The revolution happens.
Yes, an uprising. Mariam Tazi is on fire today, people. Look at that, man.
The coffee.
Sharp. The cappuccino is working, running, coursing through her veins. Coursing. You know, look at her, starting to giggle, people. I'm glad you pointed out that that video clip. It was well worth the 20 minutes spent, I think that's the way that hip hop, rap music, or music in general should awake. It's always been a tool for awakening the people, right? Mm-hmm. Right. But I think hip hop itself has been. Stunted, is that the right word? Stunted for years since the 90s with of course we had NWA. I think we've talked about this on a podcast. We had NWA and various groups from around the world with gangster rap, which was fine because that was new, that was fresh, but it went from gangster rap to players to pimps and all that stuff. And again, that's an evolutionary process. But then once it just stays the course for the next 20 years, I think there's an issue.
Well, that's the big contradiction is you say hip-hop's been stunted for the last 20 years, but it's never been bigger.
Oh, no.
Or more
a part of
culture or more of a moneymaker.
Or should I say clarify rap
no,
music?
But I think you're right, though. Mm-hmm. It, something something happened along the way. You know, and the younger guys got old and
lots and lots of money.
I think that if the reason we have these conversations is because you can still look back to the 70s and see a pretty clear picture of how hip hop or where hip hop started, and you could track, like you said, the evolution, and it's really easy to see that picture right now. You know, 20 years from now, people aren't going to remember the 70s. You know, it's going to seem
like
200 years ago. And you won't be able to trace the origins back, or it'll be...
But that's what they're counting on. It's like people we have short memories here, so they just count on that.
Yeah, and that's why we have these conversations. That's why people...
It's frustrating, though.
...go back and forth, because we can still see the past pretty clear.
Yeah, remember your history, people.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know, and you have guys like KRS-One and Run, and, you know, DMC still around.
They're Slick still educating.
Rick, and then they're out there.
Thank goodness.
Know, Malcolm and I talked about Curtis Blow. They're still around. They're still, you know, not a major part of it, which is a shame.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yeah. And, Curtis Blow. I mean, how many people know that name? Yeah. Google him, people. Curtis Blow. I mean, Curtis Blow is partially responsible for the success of Run DMC and the Fat Boys, also known as the Disco 3. And, yeah, I take you back. You know what I mean? I know my hip-hop history. The Disco 3, a.k.a. the Fat Boys. And even the Fat Boys, they don't get mentioned.
No.
And they were we were talking about them. Yeah. They were the comic relief of hip-hop. You know what I mean?
They were the Three Stooges.
They were the Three Stooges.
Three Stooges.
Yeah, and Curtis Blow is responsible for that, and we don't hear that name. And, of course, we hear Afrika Bambaataa occasionally. We do hear Kool Herc, but that's forced, and that shouldn't be forced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People will say Sugar Hill Gang way before they say Kool Herc, you know what I mean? And Kool Herc was doing it in the late 70s, you know what I mean, mid to late 70s, driving around his car, you know, with two speakers as big as this table, you know, because back in the day, you know, there was no boombox, you know, you had to get the big tower speakers that you had in your house. Remember the bigger is better speakers, those big Yamahas?
Yeah.
You have the Marantz receiver. Yeah. So he would go up and he would hook up and have shows and have his car running around, and he would spin, you know, in different parts of New York. So, I mean, that shouldn't go overlooked. It does. And this is why we have historians out there like the Blastmaster KRS-One that does lots of lectures. And there's credible shows out there, and there's internet content. But it could get overlooked, you know what I mean, with the stuff that dominates.
Because there's no money in that.
No money.
There's no money, so nobody pays attention to
it. You got to be hungry for it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be starved for it. You got to listen to American Riddle for it. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But it's something that has gone. I mean, you look at the diverse acts. We were talking earlier. We were talking a couple days ago, Rick and I, about Houdini, and Houdini was an act that foreshadows the rhythm and blues style of rap music today. And Houdini, you don't hear Houdini a lot. You know, I think I talked to you, Miriam. I was like, you know, Houdini. And you were like, no. And I was like, yeah, you do. Friends.
Yeah.
How many of us have them?
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, yeah.
Friends. You know what I mean?
It's there's no question. You tell people, do play a little word association. Houdini.
Yeah.
Magician.
The freaks come out at night.
Magician. Yeah, the guy who used to break out of boxes. Nobody knows who Houdini is.
Mm-mm. They don't.
I mean, they had a small part. There's a place for everybody. I always say there's a place for everybody in hip hop. Except the Fushnikins. there's no place for the Fushnikins in hip hop.
There's some, there definitely should be a, I guess they have awards, Vibe and different, what is it, Soul Train Awards and stuff like that that has, recognized artists.
I think the last time I watched.
I have it.
I might have been the BET. Music Awards. I'm not sure. They paid homage to Run DMC or Slick Rick. It was Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, and they had everybody up on stage.
It's fun.
But that's there's a reason why that's popular. There's a reason why, because the guys that are creating the music, like Rick Ross, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, they know, the artists know about Biggie, about KRS-One. The people that are buying their albums, their records, don't know.
Right.
which is, that's why it's even a bigger shame on Rick Ross and Diddy. And, you know, money changes people.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It is that root of all evil, but it's a necessary root, you know?
No, hip hop is like boxing. You know, you can take a guy who's homeless, but who get him in a gym, and next thing you know, look at Mike Tyson. Became a multimillionaire. You can take a guy off the street, DMX, homeless. Catches a break, gets in the studio. Next thing you know, he's making money.
Yeah,
you know, hip hop, and it's in a lot of ways. And they did that parallel to the day Biggie died. It was one of Mike Tyson fight. No, that was Tupac. Was it Tupac or Biggie that what? Died the night of the Mike Tyson fight? I think it was Tupac.
It was Pac. Yeah,
it was Pac.
He came out. Tyson came out with Pac.
Yeah,
a lot.
That's what, yeah, yeah.
Pac's music playing.
There's a big parallel to the two, because just you take right from the streets to the gym, now you're making money. From the streets to the studio, and now you're making money.
There's a parallel between them too.
Yeah.
Did you ever the ESPN?
Yeah.
Yep. 30 for 30. Yep. What was one night in Vegas? Think it was.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. Powerful.
With
powerful.
Who and who?
Mike Tyson, and the parallel between Mike Tyson and Tupac.
Really?
Yeah. The connection and how the dots are connected between their lives and how it's intertwined and
But that history is
that was a Bruce Seldon fight, I believe it was.
Yeah, and to Mike Tyson's credit, he's a boxing historian.
He I don't know. I can say the word. I guess he got really lucky because he was on a collision course where his plane was going to crash right into the mountain, and it did crash more than a couple times.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, he was on a one way trip to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying. So to take it back to tie it into my original point is that's why hip hop should be so sacred, because you have guys that have gone through some pretty bad times or came up from nothing, and hip hop afforded them a lifestyle that is not like many other businesses. You can't just walk into to Apple headquarters and say, listen, I was sleeping on the street down, you know, 2 months ago. I'd like a job here. It doesn't work that way.
That happened with KRS-One.
With KRS-One.
Yeah, he was home. I'm sure there's lots of other MCs
right,
that were homeless.
DMX.
Yeah.
That's why it's a lot like boxing in that same, because you see a lot of the same stories. But so Rick Ross, by doing that, it's a little disrespectful because you have an opportunity to create something new.
Yeah. Do it.
Don't you know, work off of something that, you know, Biggie was selling drugs, and he said it, trying to feed his daughter. He got lucky. Jay-Z, same thing. So those guys did this for you, to give you this opportunity. So now go out and make something new. Advance hip-hop. Make it better.
But they're sticking to a formula, and a formula that's been working, no different than Hollywood, you know what I mean? There's a formula that works, and the powers that be, the people that really hold the strings to the puppets, they know this formula, and that's what they're going to keep you in. Even the record industry, yes, they can pull someone out of the gutters, but at the same time, they're not really out. They're almost a victim of the entity, because they don't know that the majority of the stuff that they're getting, the loans, the cars, that stuff, they're going deeper and deeper in debt because they're not making as much money as this grand illusion tells you that you are. And believe me, people, when I say it is an illusion.
And that's the other thing. There's enough guys still around that, I mean, you hear the stories. And when I was growing up, you heard the stories, and I think Busta Rhymes is one of them. And they all, you get your advance to go in the studio, you know, make your album.
Yeah.
And those guys, the first thing they do with the check is go buy gold and get a car. And now where's the money left to go produce your album?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I don't know how it's
you
got
to pay
now.
It back.
You have to pay it back. I mean, but now where are you going to get the money to produce the album from? So now you're going out and getting money from guys you shouldn't be getting money from. And now you're in bed with guys, and that's what you're saying, from your neighborhood. You know, they're trying to help you out, and they're going to come up with you. But there's enough stories like that out there that these guys should know.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to – it's not disrespectful to get out of the hood.
Nah, you don't want to – yeah.
You like, can. And nobody – I mean, and shame on those guys that'll tell you, you know, you don't come back anymore. you're not around anymore. You come back. I mean, if I were Jay-Z,
be happy for them.
He should never go back. You work hard to get out.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point of coming up. That's the point of advancing. Mm-hmm. That's the point of bettering yourself, you know, as a human being, as a person, as a you know, as a product of society. You can give back in many ways. You know, open up gyms. You know, open up. You know, I mean, Jay-Z. You know, didn't he open up a stadium in Brooklyn? What is it? What did he do?
Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, there you
he's
go.
Part owner, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
he's bought a team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's on a different level. I mean, he is, and I'm sure he does a lot of good. And there are other people out there that you know that do stuff like that I'm unaware of. But that's the stuff we should. That's the stuff that should be on the forefront of the media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Putting, you know, raising
the positive side.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
There is some positive aspects to hip hop, you know, which is, I think, mostly what people forget.
Majority of it is. It's like Rick said, hip hop is everywhere. Is. You go on the Tonight Show. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Hip hop's on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
You go commercials. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Desiderio Restaurant. Yeah. You know what I mean? In Gainesville, Virginia.
Yeah.
It's hip hop. I mean, hip hop. The world has embraced hip hop, and it's refreshing. But there are some areas that definitely, you know, need some attention. I think, you know, especially when it comes to the exploitation of death and hatred and fear and, you know. Yeah. All that negative stuff.
Yeah, LL Cool J's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He never rapped about, when he was younger, he rapped about fighting, you know. Or, you know,
I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah, but it was
even before that.
It was, he rapped about it, but it wasn't violent. Even Mama Said Knock You Out.
I mean,
really wasn't violent.
I mean, he did. Everyone's done something, you know. Like Cool J had a song. I mean, three shots to the head, and you know, it's fine. It's good. It's gonna. It's part of the culture. This country was founded on violence.
Yeah.
Violence is our culture.
But LL Cool J at 30,
yeah,
35 yeah. wasn't rapping about three shots to the head. Mm-mm. Rick Ross at 30, 35, or these other guys, Lil Wayne at 25, 26, 27. That's what.
Well, there's a food.
As you get older, you start to understand.
Yeah, but again, there's a
need to fill.
Yeah, there are some ingredients that pay the bills, and within those ingredients make up a food, and this is the food that they want to put out.
And
let's
you know a big reason for all of this is, as well is, you know, being able to download music. Puts music in the hands of kids that have no idea what they're listening to. You know, my son, I'll hear his headphones are up so high, I'll hear and where'd you get that from? iTunes. Who is that? I have no idea. He has no idea. He just thinks it sounds good. He doesn't even know what they're saying.
Yeah.
He has no idea.
They don't do their research.
No, and they don't have to. I mean, they're 13.
Yeah.
You know, my 7-year-old too. My 7-year-old told me that the concerts he wanted to see were in this order. It was Blake Shelton, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old, he couldn't pick out Snoop Dogg song if he heard one, but he just knows that he hears his brothers. So Blake Shelton, Snoop Dogg, and there were a couple others, another country guy in there. So you can see, they don't know. Yeah. They're kid. They really have no idea. But when I and Malcolm has talked about this with his son, when I try and school my sons and I play. You know, Run DMC or Rakim. There's a reason they like it, because it's good.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
Not because you're showing it to them too,
right.
though.
Right. No. I mean, I'll just put it on in the car.
Just to see. Okay.
And then you know, my older son would say, "I like that. What was that?"
Mm.
You know, my kids could be out. If there was a game show to pick out to guess Michael Jackson songs, my kids would win. Because we played that in the car. Who's
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's that? I mean,
yeah, my guy's the same one.
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's the greatest. That's a little bit them repeating what they hear.
Yeah.
But
it's good education.
And he's
though.
A big part of hip hop too. He doesn't get like the dance side and.
Yeah.
But because of iTunes, man.
Yeah.
That kills rap too, because if you took the sound out of New York, which was really. Held by New York, but they embrace it. They, you know, East Coast rap, West Coast, whatever. But it really comes down to New York. And when I was in New York, when I lived there, growing up, that was our sound.
Yeah,
ours.
It's a unique sound.
Yeah, And Wu-Tang belonged to us. Rakim belonged to us. But now iTunes, they can belong to anybody.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to know about hip-hop to like Rakim. So I might come across somebody who say, and I remember this in college, you know, my guy lived in the room next to me in the dorm, said he loved Eric B. and Rakim. Man. Can I tell you, the guy looked like, he looked like Chuck Norris. That's how I remember. I don't remember his name, but Eric B. and Rakim. And I'd say, man, it's Rakim.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many people, that's really disrespectful to me. So how could you tell me you like Rakim when you call him Rakim?
Yeah.
And it's the same with iTunes and being able to, you know, that music doesn't belong, it belongs to everybody. Now everybody can claim it. They can say they like it. And that's disrespectful to me, to like something you know nothing about. Maybe it's because I'm showing
like
my age.
You don't really like it because you don't really know it.
Yeah, but I mean,
know?
Rakim might argue that, hey, they like my sound, you know, but.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, the fact also is, and that's where someone, you know, you have to correct them. You have to let them know what's up. And are they really listening?
That's what I mean.
Are you really listening to? What are you listening to that you like Rakim?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like an artist.
Because it says Rakim Asay. You know what I mean?
Right.
He even says it, Rakim.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make that mistake.
And this is back in the 90s, too. So, you know, it was limited. And we had cassette tapes back then. But that's like an artist, you know, putting their heart and soul into a painting, and someone comes along and says, wow, I really like this painting. Well, what do you like about it? I love the color red.
Yeah.
That's as an artist, I'm insulted.
Yeah.
You
that's
love
all
the
you
color,
see.
That's all you see is red? I don't want you to buy my painting.
Yeah.
You're not going to appreciate
you
it. You just like
it.
This.
Yeah.
Right. You just like red. And I think that's what it used to be like back in the day. Now it's, if you've got $1.99, download my song off iTunes, you know, $9.99 for the album. I don't care whether you get it or not. You're going to put more money in my pocket, and I'm going to rap about it later and tell you how I spent it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to buy that one, too. So, I mean, the there's only a handful of people, I think, that still really understand what it means to create and be an artist. And that's, that can be whether painting, poetry, and hip-hop. And I think that's what we've lost. You talk about this a lot, both of you have, about how everything's kind of desensitized, and we just go mindlessly to the movie theater and watch whatever's on the screen and leave there thinking we like it. Without really appreciating, you know, what we saw.
Not criticizing or critiquing, you know.
Yeah.
Just absorbing it. Uh-oh. I got a call.
Hello?
I didn't know we were taking calls today. Still a work in progress.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I lost him.
Oh.
I tried. I put sorry about that. I put a note out to get a caller. Get some phone calls,
get
and I think I actually hung up on the caller.
That's great.
Sorry, caller. I'm still new at this, man.
You
know, I'm
back.
Still trying to craft it.
You gotta get a call screener.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I guess I could, huh?
That's an option.
You know, we're trying to get people more involved with the podcast and, get this system down, this technology I have in front of me. But I still haven't figured it out and still haven't... got someone to man the mixing board and the phone lines and all that stuff. It may get there, people, but
soon
just
enough.
Bear with me. I'll put my headphones back on.
Oh, yeah, you don't even have your headphones on.
I took them off for a second because I was trying to, you know.
Oh, the phone call.
Yeah. I'm trying to do it, people.
Sorry.
Give me a break. Stop busting my balls. Were you talking about Rick Marrero? Where would you leave off on? I totally forgot. But, it, you know, going back to what your son was, Blake Shelton to Snoop Dogg, that's a big range.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I mean, I was the same way when I was coming up. Like, I was listening to Planet Rock. I was listening to Planet Rock at 1.9, and I was listening to Kenny Rogers.
Right.
You know what I mean? And believe you me, I didn't know at the time that I couldn't do both in public. You know?
Yeah.
It was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And I had to get it. Yeah, Kenny lost. I made the mistake. I think I talked about it in the podcast where I had Kenny Rogers blasting and all the kids in the hood heard me playing Gambler, and didn't go over too well in the hood. Yeah. Didn't years actually? I was panned and criticized. The guy likes
they
country
had to
music.
Teach you.
Man, but Kenny Rogers is a shit. You know, I was a big Kenny Rogers fan back, and still am a Kenny Rogers fan. You know, but it's good to have that range, and especially the pure, you know, the pure hearts of children to see what they like But I also like to ask the question, like you said, with the guy who was saying rack him, why do you like, you know, with my guy, I always ask him, why do you like this? You know, when he came to me and I talked to you two about how my son wants to learn more about hip hop and wants to learn to make music, he said, and he wanted to make hip hop music. And I told him, I said, you know, you're already learning hip hop. OK, you just joined band. OK, you just joined band. Learn as many instruments as you can. As many as you can, learn them. That's one of the mistakes I did. When I was coming up, I wanted to learn more about the technologies. You know, I picked up the turntables, the microphone, gravitated towards DJing and, drum machines. And that's the way I went. It's not in technology. It's what you can do without technology, which will propel you into the advancement of hip-hop. Let's see if I can get this call straight, man. Let me see. Hold on for a second. You guys can talk amongst yourselves if you want. Hold on. Let me just see. Yeah.
He's crazy. I agree.
Hello?
No, even as I've gotten older.
Are you on Wi-Fi here on their phone?
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
You know the password? It's just.
We're going to give it on the air?
No.
No, I got it. It's programmed in.
Yeah, it's already in. No, so, I mean, I grew up too listening to Billy Joel, Kiss, Planet Rock.
It's not like me too. I didn't just listen to hip hop, you know, like I had a variety, but it's musical. You know what I mean? It's just liking music. There's nothing wrong with different, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Different types of music to enjoy. I mean, I can't criticize that, but.
But I think that might be something that most kids don't have. Younger kids, they either like country.
It is very, because one of the first questions people will ask you, it's okay, hi, whatever, what's your name, what school did you go to, what type of music do you listen to? And it's like one genre.
Yeah.
And you're like, for me, it's like, there's not one, what's your favorite type of music? It's like, I like all music. Yeah.
And I've been given that response since I was, I don't know, 12.
I just like music.
I like all music, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of it, I will say this, as I got older and I started working for a living, it seemed not embarrassing, but people here, when I moved to Virginia, to say, you listen to hip hop, people looked at you like, this was again in the
90s. I get that at my job all the time. Yeah. They look at my stations on Pandora because I'll play my music, and they're like, Miriam, do you listen to any white music? And I was like, no, I guess not. I'm like, I don't really, you know, but I'll just look through my orders and I'm like, I guess I don't, you know, but it's not because it's out of like conscious choice. It just happens to be what I like, and it turns out to be what it is.
Yeah. Balcom's back. Sorry to interrupt.
Welcome back.
Yeah. So we got the caller on. It just had some technical difficulties, folks. My man Tyrone in the house. Tyrone.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here with Miriam Tazi and Rick Marrero, hip hop restaurateur.
Good afternoon.
I think you know Rick, don't you?
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but I've frequented the establishment a few times.
Oh, well, thank you.
There you go. So you got a question for American Riddle today? What's up, brother?
Well, I saw your post, man. I was just trying to chime in on this hip-hop conversation.
Yeah, we're talking right now. We've been talking about the state of hip-hop and the evolution, and we had a long, lengthy discussion about Rick Ross being the new Biggie Smalls and everyone's thought on that. How say you?
Well, I saw your post the other day and I made a comment about Ross. And, as far as comparing him to Biggie, in my opinion, the only thing he's got in comparison with him is size. A lot of the music coming out of Maybach is okay, but lyrically and as far as telling stories and just having dope lyrics, I don't think he can compete with Biggie. Maybe he will be able to eventually, but right now it's not even close in my opinion.
There you go.
He agrees with all of us then. Yeah. That's good.
I don't know. We're gonna have to get on Charlie Murphy because, like I said, we said in the podcast earlier, Tyrone, that a word on the street, not street, that I heard was different podcasts I listened to, and Charlie Murphy and Sean Wayans, and no disrespect to them brothers because I love them to death. So should they listen to American Riddle, which I doubt, but I like to think that they may hear this conversation. No disrespect to them, I just don't know how they can think that he's the you know, the heir to the throne, of which the throne that Biggie had, as I guess Biggie was the king of New York and representing. But yeah, people do, and I guess they're just, we were talking earlier about how they are, it's an illusion with technology, the beats, and that void that's been missing. Yeah. That they think if someone rhymes over a Biggie beat, that they're Biggie.
Exactly. And another perfect example, you know, if you're posted, is that Ross video you posted, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard the track, it immediately turned me off because I knew that was the, you know, that was the old Biggie track. You know, and they kept the same chorus, they kept the same beat and everything. And, you know, in my opinion, they ruined it because that song was classic.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe in their defense, they're paying, you know, an homage, you know?
Or homage.
Yeah, that's still possible, too. But, I lyrically, I don't think Ross is on the level yet. He's got a lot of work to do, in my opinion. But he certainly has his following. And, I don't know if it's a lot of the young heads and new cast, but, and then, you know, you mentioned Wayans and Charlie Murphy. That's kind of surprising because I know Charlie's kind of old school. That's an older brother. I can maybe understand the Wayans jocking him a little bit because they're a little bit younger, if I'm not mistaken, or at least the youngest Wayans is. But
Sean Wayans is probably the
youngest. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, he's not the younger one.
Yeah, Sean Wayans is old enough to know better. But he did hesitate a couple times in the conversation.
You know, the main ingredient.
At least he's making a fact then if he hesitated.
Rick Ross could never be Biggie for one reason. He's not from Brooklyn.
No.
And that is a big part of what made Biggie Biggie.
It's the soul.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the soul.
He's a correction officer from Florida. Or born in Florida. No disrespect to that.
Born in Mississippi, grew up in Florida. Yeah,
but he'll never have that. That it.
My man Tyrone, man, thanks for calling in. We'll hook up. We will hook up sometime soon in the near future because I need to. Tyrone's going to help me out with some T-shirts.
Nice.
So, American Riddle apparel. You know what I mean?
Looking forward to it, brother. It was nice to chat with you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Hey, no problem.
All right, brother.
All right, take care.
Later. There we go. We got one call in. Huh?
That's pretty cool.
Take a minute to connect. I'll get there, people. You know, it wasn't that smooth of a transition in the first 15 podcast episodes, or 20 maybe. But, God, it used to frustrate me. It still does in a lot of ways. But technology, you know what I mean? Look at all this stuff in front of me, people. That's why I say we got to go on Ustream so you guys can see what's going on behind closed doors. But, yeah, he hit it on the head, Tyrone. I think the generation from a certain age, and again, I'm not just trying to gang up on Rick Ross. He's just, you know, he's just a flavor of this conversation. There are many MCs out there, you know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and I've said this before, you know, if it wasn't for technology, and this is what I was trying, the lesson I was trying to instill that I'm in, you know, conveying to my son, is that if you take technology out of it, what do you have? Can you write? You know what I mean? Can you get your point across? Can you pronounce and enunciate? Can you speak and move the crowd? Can you do that? You know, I hear a lot slurred. You know what I mean? You know, I hear a lot of stuff over some really cool beats. You know what I mean? Some bass lines, some drums. I hear a lot of good music, but I don't hear the lyrics. You know what I mean? You can say nigga, 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 nigga over and over. And you can say AK and gun. And I got nines. And I got Aston Martins. And I got Moscato. And I got all this stuff. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean shit. You're not connecting any dots. It's not going anywhere. And that's the part that I find frustrating. And again, not just in hip-hop rap music, but in film and television content. I was talking to my boy earlier about... He called me up and he was like, man, you know what, man? You were right about The Walking Dead. It's some bullshit. And I said, yeah, you're just feeding yourself. It's something that they've manufactured a formula, and this is what people are interested in. They're going to see how long they can stretch it out and get as many seasons as they can and merchandise as they can out of you. And this is what this is the product, okay? Yeah. Now, if The Walking Dead would have been on two seasons – maybe one season and called it a day, then you got to win. You know, it's just enough to terrorize you, to showcase the talent, showcase the technology, the story, and then it's done and over. Take True Detective. Mm. True Detective that just came out. And this is all connects to what we're talking about with hip-hop. Take True Detective that was on HBO. They ran one season starring Matthew McConaughey and
Woody Harrelson.
Thank you. And Woody Harrelson. And boom, it's over. They did their thing. They killed it,
yeah.
And you know, it blew up, and now you're yearning for more. It's the same thing. It's the same concept. If you take the greed out of anything, any product, it could be your favorite computer, your favorite phone, your favorite. But once you start getting greedy, you start doing things that deviate from that formula, and what happens? You lose the soul,
yeah.
The essence. You know what I mean? It could happen in restaurants. You know what I mean? We were talking earlier about Starbucks and Starbucks coffee. This cappuccino that we had at Desiderio in Gainesville, Virginia, you're not going to get this flavor in Starbucks.
No way.
You know what I mean? I avoid Starbucks.
Well, you were comparing Starbucks to McDonald's now.
It is like, the McDonald's. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, McDonald's has always been McDonald's.
Yeah.
But the fact McDonald's back in the day when it came out, it was new, it was refreshing. You know, you had milkshakes, burgers. It was fast. But then with the greed,
nuggets.
And you start just mass producing, and the quality changes, just like with Coca-Cola products. You know, when you start messing with that formula just for the sake of mass producing it, then you start losing the essence, the soul. You know what I mean? It's not a special place to go anymore. It's there. There's a Starbucks everywhere. There's a McDonald's everywhere. You know what I mean? You just start giving them burnt coffee or shit burgers. You know what I mean? And you know, same thing with rap music. You know, same thing with TV shows.
Yep.
You know, we need to get someone on a podcast that disagrees with us. You know what I mean? Find someone who
they'd get beat up. Like, we would just attack them. I don't know. I'd give them a chance.
Anybody in their 20s.
It would be
someone
tough.
Someone young.
Yeah.
Would disagree. Well.
Not necessarily.
But they don't. I don't think they'd have. You can't
the right
really,
argument.
Yeah, the right argument. Right. You, there's not a lot to back up that argument because there's not a lot of history behind it.
I mean.
You know, time will tell, right?
Yeah.
We've gone through, you know, hip hop's, you know, it started in the 70s. You know, there's a lot of history there. You can go back and say, well, and point out why our argument is the right one. Why? You know, but I think that unless you're sitting next to or Rakim's calling in or KRS-One, there is no answer. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
There isn't.
It's just opinions.
No one's going to listen to what I have to say, what you have to say, what Malcolm has to say, because it is an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need somebody who's an authority. And we used to have that. There used to be an authority. You knew that if KRS-One said something, that's the way it was. If Grandmaster Flash or Melly Mel said something, that's the way it was, because there was more. They were more united back then. There were only so many mainstream rappers that were out there. They all worked together, to help put rap, hip hop, take it
map.
To where it is on the map.
Yeah.
So there was very little infighting.
Yeah,
in public, you know, there wasn't so much. Everybody was going in the same direction. It was one way taking it forward. Now you get to the point where. You know, we got people going all different ways, doing, you know, a lot of different things with hip hop, with rap,
just looking
with
for
the culture,
themselves,
right?
Yeah,
because all the hard work's been done, the heavy lifting's been done.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the fact that you know, if you're running around and you're on a yacht, and the pictures that are being promoted, you're on a yacht, or you've got a Bentley, or you have you know, some exotic, you know, you're at some exotic location filming. He who has the gold makes the rules. You know what I mean? You could be the wackest MC out there, and there's tons of them out there. You know what I mean? But if they're able to pay top dollar for the best producers to produce an album or a video, then you know they can say what they want, and they've got the technology as far as YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and just television. And the movies, they've got all that stuff to promote. You know
I get, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, you know, guys like Diddy and Jay-Z go back and produce some young rappers to take us back to where it was. Because they're there. Like you're saying, they're there. They just don't have a break. You need a break.
Well, we talked about it earlier. I was like, we talked about
Go back to the hood and actually grab some.
Yeah,
like,
get the guys that are grinding, that are selling tapes out of their CDs out of their trunk still.
I mean, there's mixtapes out there. Yeah. You know, people still do that.
I mean, there are people. I mean, and that's a good way to pay homage.
Yeah. Homage.
to hip hop and what it was. I mean, why not? They're there. There are kids right now in the Bronx that you know,
still need a way out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was me. I was battling at lunchtime, you know, writing rhymes in classes that I didn't like.
Well, now they have different outlets. Like you can put your
online.
Yeah.
You know,
you can put it on iTunes. Yeah. You can put an EP out on iTunes. You can put your mixtape on
YouTube,
SoundCloud, and you know, rock it out. There's MCs out there and they're struggling. We featured D-Fro on the rest in peace to the MC that was murdered in Michigan. Yep. There are talented, you know, brothers and sisters out there. It's just them being able to get into the mainstream. And sometimes the mainstream isn't really where it's at. I mean, you take Immortal Technique. I mean, Immortal Technique, I've said his name more than enough times on this podcast. I mean, lyrically, he's a throwback to the days of old and is able to be current and talk about he will say some stuff in a verse that you will Google. You will have to Google and do some research on. And I enjoy him. I don't listen to him enough. You know what I mean? I don't know if any of the listeners, but you guys should Google Immortal Technique, because he's just dropping science. And I get the most of the stuff I get from Immortal Technique is from when he does appearances on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he'll spend 3 hours, and he can talk about anything and everything, and his music is the same way. I mean, it's straight up, you know, hip hop in its purest form, representing the East Coast, and he's got that old New York sound. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, North, South, you know, West. But I think it's changed where everyone. I mean, you got brother Drake from Canada, and he sound, you know, I can't tell him and Lil Wayne apart, and I can't have, you know, if somebody else is singing and they got the scratchy voice and the beats kind of sound all alike. And I'm not saying they're not, you know, they can't rap, but I'd be curious to see if they, you know, if they went up against the Wu, or if they went up against KRS, or if they just went to Brooklyn, or if they went to the Bronx and posted up, and they, you know, who would win that battle? You know, take it to the streets of Detroit or Flint. I'd like to see them, you know, just could they do that, you know, on right there on the spot?
I think because they don't have to, we'll never find out.
No, they don't have to.
Because they don't have to, but that's the difference. You know, like I'll take it back to boxing again. You know, a good boxer, you might have a guy, you know, that you don't have to fight, but people are calling for that fight, like Mayweather and Pacquiao. Mayweather doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He's the best fighter pound for pound in the world. He didn't have to fight Pacquiao, but a guy like that will go out and do it just because, to shut everybody up. Just shut everybody up. But no one does that. You know, we don't have to do a lot of things, but if you trust in what you're doing and have confidence in the art that you're creating and know that it can stand up to anybody, you go out there and you take it on the road and you prove it.
And the thing is, it's that fear. The fear of losing face, fear of losing respect, and fear of losing money is what would stop someone like, you know, Rick Ross or Drake or someone doing a freestyle battle right off, you know. Not saying that they can't do it. I don't know. But I know KRS-One could battle anyone in the world. I know Rakim. Yeah, I know any member of the Wu could drop and battle anyone. Tribe Called Quest, Q-Tip, Busta Rhymes, Run DMC. You know, there are certain people that you know can do it. You know what I mean? Immortal Technique. And there's a lot of new MCs as well out there it's eluding me right now who they are. But I'm sure they're out there. Oh, yeah. It's just we don't see it, and that's the stuff that I'd like to see, you know, online, on the web, on Vine, you know what I mean? Promoting.
People don't battle anymore, it seems like.
No, because it's these are arts that are art. Yeah, these are arts that are long gone. Same thing with, as we said in the beginning of the podcast, the term biting, you know? It is what's sacred, okay? There's certain things that you just don't do. You don't bite. You don't steal someone else's identity or name or rhyme or beat or style. You know what I mean? I mean, you can argue a lot. A lot of people have done it. You can say that Kool J took Tila Rock's beat. You know what I mean? And MC Shan's. I mean, there are parallels when it comes to it, and you just had to pick a side. Mm-hmm. I was always with the Kool J camp. You know what I mean? They battled. They laid it out. They said, all right, we're going to battle. And there you have it.
I mean, people wanted so badly to not be considered biting that you had Kumo D in a cowboy hat or Houdini trying to be different to the point where it was bad.
And if you wore a cowboy hat, you know what I mean?
You were biting.
You were biting,
So, I mean, it gave birth to the wanting to be different, gave birth to Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang was something never before seen, and it won't be seen again. The whole, martial arts, and he talked about that, and the Tang, and the tongue.
Yeah, that's,
you know, that they
that
got was tight. Into that.
That was tight.
And no one had ever seen that. And they could rhyme.
Well, Chuck
and
D.
And the beats were tight. Chuck D.
Chuck D from Public Enemy. Yeah. I mean, he changed the whole style of the voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. He dropped it, and he took it to another level where other MCs, and I talked about this. If you guys follow me on Facebook or any of the social media, Rick and I engage in conversation sometimes. I think didn't you post a picture of it was Beat Street. And I said
Beat Street,
I didn't like that song just because it was Beat Street, the king of the beat.
Yeah.
You know, that style at that time, it was moving away to the style like Run DMC, where it was a different flow, and that's what I identify with. And I never really liked the theme song to Beat Street.
That's why I give Rakim so much credit.
He changed it.
He took it. He was that bridge.
The flow.
Yep.
And he would, which in turn, the reason why all three of us adore Rakim, it gave you Nas. You know what I mean? He gave birth to MCs like that. There would be none. People always say there would be none. There would be none.
Yeah.
There would be no Nas without Rakim. You know what I mean?
And you know, that's another argument to be made. Nas might be the last great rapper. New. And he's old.
Well, that's like,
who's come after him that's in his league?
On a here's an argument. We could be here another hour. Okay? You could say, I could say Immortal Technique. Immortal.
I would say Talib.
Yeah, Talib Kweli. Yeah. You could,
I don't know. That's tough.
But on
that's a good argument.
But what you're talking about
is I'm a huge fan,
is,
though. You know, I have a biased opinion.
Listen to this. What you're talking about, do those artists embody everything from underground to mainstream to selling merchandise to selling the product and everything? Nas embodied the whole shebang for that period. And still, in a lot of ways, does he still is relevant and respected, like Rakim.
Yeah,
Talib Kweli is one of those that people don't know in mainstream. You know, he was on, what was it? Chelsea was on Jimmy Kimmel. Was it Jimmy Kimmel? Or was he? No, he was on Jimmy Fallon the other night, and Jimmy Fallon was talking about who he listens to or something. He said Talib Kweli, and she was like, "Who? You know what I mean? Who?
Well, yeah."
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he was I don't want to say a flash in the pan, because for underground-wise and people who know hip-hop know him.
Yeah.
But he was right there below mainstream when he was with Black Star.
And Most Def.
Most Def, yeah. You know what I mean? And then when they kind of went their own ways, I mean, there was that moment where
people, Most Def.
Yeah.
Yasiin Bey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He changed his name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those, I mean,
but
they're out there. You just have to go digging a little bit, you know. What I like about Talib is that he's not trying to be so mainstream. He's making his music actually available more directly, like getting middlemen out of it through social media. And so he has this old like website where you can actually download all his stuff like through him. It's like really contacting, you know, his fans directly, and he's using social media to in a really really smart marketing way, and also to connect with his people, you know? He's pretty creative. I like him a lot.
Yeah, you have, I mean, one can't exist without the other. And we've had this argument time and time again online about, you know, the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop and, you know, what links past, present, and future. And, yeah, at the end of the day, believe me, you can't argue, and we've said it him enough. I mean, goddamn. I mean, you think Rakim was running for president, but he has to be mentioned in there. And I don't think there's an MC alive, as you know, to echo Rick Marrero's point, is you can't find an MC around that would challenge him. They just dropped what was that new song with Rakim?
Oh, with Linkin Park?
Yeah, Linkin Park just dropped. Did you hear it?
No. How is it?
I guess the best way I can put it is that the most abstract rock in rap infused.
It reminded
song.
Me of like old school metal.
Yeah.
And then Rakim is in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, it was really.
And you have to understand this science to appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to be on. And I heard it one time and loved it.
Really?
Now, online, I've seen conflicting reports on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to understand, this isn't the food. You know what I mean? That's being served. This is some gourmet shit. You know what I mean? And not everybody can eat gourmet. Everybody understands gourmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can't.
Tuna tartare.
They can't understand the tuna tartare. You know what I mean?
One of the things, you know, to get back to Nas, and we got to maybe at a later time, check out the trailer for Shake the Dust. He's one of the producers on that, and it's about hip-hop. It's about breakdancing worldwide. So he's in Nigeria, and he's in Egypt.
Who's this?
Nas. Or Japan. And these guys are talking about how hip-hop is their voice, or dancing. He's in four different countries. I don't know the exact. I could be wrong, but on the exact country. But I think Nigeria is one of them. But that's something he's doing, similar to what the GZA is doing, that's behind the scenes that you don't see, to promote the culture.
Yeah.
And the culture is at its most basic in these places where, you know, they might be getting songs 5, 6, 7 years. How hip-hop got there, I have no idea. But it's worldwide, and it's the you know, b-boying, dancing side of hip-hop, rap. I don't think the movie's out yet, the documentary, but the trailer is. It's called Shake the Dust. And you got guys doing windmills in dirt.
Yeah. That's the shit. The fact that he's out promoting that, like with the GZA and what he's doing. When I first saw this, I don't even know. Let me just pull it up real quick on YouTube. Yeah, that video... and you YouTube it again, people. The Genius of Science, GZA and the Science Genius at TEDxTeen. Only 499 views.
Yeah.
490. But yet you'll get bullshit, okay? You'll get bullshit that gets millions and millions of views.
Like of a cat
yeah.
in a box.
I'm looking at the trailer for Shake the Dust, and it's got 37,000 views. But that GZA, he's been to Harvard. He gives talks at Harvard on this stuff, on that. It's hip hop at Harvard and MIT, I think, and Boston University. Yeah. That's how I found out about the link. I signed up to get, you know, notices on that stuff. But he's all over promoting that.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It really is. It's a it's the food that you're starved for, but there's no real real money in it, and you know, it's gonna take take, you know, shows like this and people like Rick and ourselves to, you know, engage other people, other listeners, you know, to find this, because, you know, it ain't out there. I mean, thank God, you know, like we talked earlier, like this is hip hop's connection. You know, with science, you have Neil deGrasse Tyson now being the forefront of science on television again on the Cosmos. Have you seen that?
Have you watched it? I haven't seen it, but I saw the the previews
for it. This guy, man, he's 55 years young, and he's just dropping wisdom. I'm trying to get Miriam to get on board with it. But, I mean, it's like, I like watching Ancient Aliens. You know what I mean? I like to go into fantasy and stuff.
Yeah,
I'll play it. Yeah, I'll play that.
He's actually in Uganda.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll play that clip in a second.
Tell you, man, I saw Biggie and Tupac spray painted on the walls in sub-Saharan Africa.
Soul.
I was like, what is this doing here? But okay, I'm okay with it.
It's soul.
Yeah.
It's a stuff, and it's a tip of the hat. You know, I got to give much respect to Neil deGrasse Tyson for the show that he's come out with, with the help of Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane being the producer of that. It just goes to show you that cat also.
Oh yeah,
that cat has got range. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He's a smart guy. I mean, you can tell.
Young, talented.
Usually the people who are most intelligent are the ones who he kind of downplays how smart he is to the point where he's mocking himself with Family Guy and things, you know, that. But he's a smart guy.
It's the guy that paid his dues.
Yeah.
A long road traveled. And, you know, I'm not even a Family Guy fan. I know of Family Guy, but, you know, I don't watch cartoons. I know you're trying to get me to watch. What were you trying to get me to watch?
Oh, no. I mean, I haven't seen Chosen.
Yeah, Chosen.
Just for the shock value and the fact that it's even on TV.
And what's the other child thing you want me to watch?
Oh, Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba he wants me to watch. I don't know what this is.
The Roots are on there.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, you got to watch.
I'm going to watch him.
You got to watch Yo Gabba Gabba.
I'm going to watch him.
You got Jack Black, The Roots.
But the content, you know what I mean? If you know, even for comic relief or whatever, the stuff that's out there. And when it's stuff like this, let me just play a quick clip.
My name is GZA, and I'm from a group called the Wu-Tang Clan. Some of you may know about us and some of you don't, you know, but Wu-Tang is a sword style of MCing. You know, the Wu is the word, the Tang is the tongue of the sword. So basically, it's just about being lyrically sharp. I'll say I'm a crazy one because hip-hop is my vehicle to scientific and universal enlightenment. Growing up in the 70s and the 80s in Staten Island, in Brooklyn, I was not readily exposed to the hard sciences. You see, science existed in tertiary forms during my youth, and it wasn't until my music career matured that I began to pursue, or I was exposed to science as an intellectual pursuit. But yet and still, as a child, I often wondered about static from the carpet or the aluminum foil that was on a TV antenna. You know, I would ask myself certain questions when I was young, just simple questions that most kids probably ask themselves. You know, what makes the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Why are some metals magnetic, and others are not? Why is metal a conductor of electricity and wood is not, but you're more likely to be struck by lightning when standing under a tree?
So you see where he's going with it. You know what I mean? You see.
I got to say this, though.
Yeah.
As smart as he sounds, he still says axe.
Yeah, yeah.
And metal. Well, I mean, I can't let that slide. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is. Product of the environment.
I never said
but he gets
axe.
A pass. I think I've said it.
Oh.
I've said espresso.
Yeah, that I hear a lot. There's a few things that turn me off right away that I may walk away from you mid-conversation if you say, and axe is one of them.
Well, the thing when it comes to stuff like that.
You can't axe me nothing.
The thing is, when it comes to stuff like that, it's important for, you know, friends, family, to correct you, to shame you, publicly shame you. It's not an insult. Like, when I used to say espresso, I was dating someone at the time, and she would call me out.
She called you out. Good.
Oh, yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. You can't. And I was embarrassed, you know what I mean? But fuck it. You know what I mean? Shit. I still say some shit. On the podcast, I mean, I say some dumb, you know. I mean, I say a lot of stuff. I tear up a lot of things.
You need to get some fact checkers in to break you down at the end of the podcast.
But that's the point of society. You know what I mean? Yeah. If your son is out there playing, if he's out there messing up, the neighbor should put him in check. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, if he comes up and he's running around, I always see the Marrero boys running around the restaurant. You know what I mean? I call him, like, look at that little Marrero. But that's the point. The elders of the tribe should always be watching. Yep. And even if you're not an elder, if you see someone that's doing something, you should correct them. You don't have to, you know, make fun or any way you want. You just want to let them know. I was here in the restaurant, and one of the guys that works here was saying, what was he saying? He was trying to say Rioja, the wine region of Spain, and I think he was saying Rioja. And that's all I kept hearing all night. So I went up and I was like, it's Rioja. It's pronounced Rioja, because what's going to happen? I told him, what's going to happen is, I was like, someone's going to come in here and they're going to know, or they're going to be from Rioja, Spain. And they're going to criticize the integrity of this restaurant. And we want to make sure that we're sharp. You know what I mean? It's the same thing when you say – you should say ask, or you should say espresso, you know. It's the same thing if you say creme de la creme. You know, it's the same thing. I make fun of the way I speak French, or try to speak French, but it's more of a bit, you know, a comic relief type thing.
Or if you say homage.
Yeah, homage or humus instead of hummus.
But you know what? This is my theory.
Humus.
I have a theory on that. That's the – it's the American Idol theory, because – it's an American Idol moment, because you watch – I don't watch American Idol anymore, but when it first started, I did. And you had all these people up on stage singing who could not sing. And the first time they were told they couldn't sing
– they were shocked.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like nobody ever told them.
But my parents told me I'm a great singer.
Now everybody gets a pass.
They've been lying to you.
Yeah.
No, it's okay to not be nice all the time.
It's
to
the
not be so polite or politically correct by not pointing out somebody's – and I do it to a fault. I'm right there to tell you that you did something wrong, to the point where people hate me for it and think that I know everything. And if you talk to anybody in here, they'll tell you that. And you can't.
Yeah,
one Friday night, just talk to them. They'll let you know.
Yeah.
And they love it when I make a mistake.
You ought to see this dude.
Love it.
No, you said he runs a tight ship.
Hey, but he runs around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Oh,
he's looking around for.
I cannot help it. I had a guy send out a glass. One of the bartenders, this is off the subject. One of the bartenders, we have two different types of wine glasses. He decided he was going to put white in one, red in the other. No problem. Great initiative. 5 days later, he's putting red in the white. And he's the one who decided to do that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
And he had people at the bar that I happened to know, so it was okay. I called him out in front of them. I said, I thought you were going to put white wine in that glass. And right away, he has a stuttering problem. And he does not have a stuttering problem. It's up. No, you said you were going to do something.
Yeah.
Do it. Because I'm going to catch it if you don't. And in return, like I said, they love when I make mistakes.
Yeah.
All the smiles on their faces, they'll never forget it. My kids are the same way.
But it's important, and it does go back to what we're talking about on this theme of hip hop, is the fact of that public shaming, acknowledging that you need, you know, that improvements need to be made. You need to make adjustments. That's the only way you become better at your craft. I don't care if you're working at McDonald's or Desiderio, or you're an MC, a poet, a filmmaker. It doesn't matter what it is, but sometimes, most of the time, you know, we all need that extra push. And when it comes to in this conversation that we're talking about is, you know, through rap music and hip hop, you know, no one's telling these cats that they suck. You know what I mean?
How can you argue with all the money they're making, though? That's the problem.
Oh, you can't. And then it goes back to the violence thing. How many MCs, how many rappers, how many people did you see in domestic problems and murder, attempted murder? They fly off because they haven't been told. I mean, even the Justin Biebers and the Miley Cyruses and the Britney Spears and people outside of hip-hop, I mean, just in general in the entertainment field, that are out there and they're running amok. And they're, you know, they're just doing what they do because they have, you know, access to so many, you know, millions of dollars.
But, and a lot of yes men.
Yeah.
Surrounded by yes men.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you, like, so many films that just have met the demise of poor production just because of those yes men. And you have to, you need to have people around you that's going to give you, you know, the hard truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tough love is a motherfucker, but it's needed.
Listen, and I'm a little bias, because the business that I'm in, people come in a restaurant and think that they can, and they do, say whatever they want. I mean, I think it's like that,
it's like
in the
that
service
retail.
Industry and retail too. So, you know, but
yeah, but you're in my house.
Yeah,
when
and,
you
it's,
come
it,
here.
And I take it. You know what? And so if I was working at the Gap and someone brought back a leather jacket and said, "This is the worst leather jacket I've ever owned. It fell apart after 3 days," as an employee of the Gap, I would say, or wherever, I'm dating myself by saying Gap, but you would say, all right,
J.Crew.
You would say, all right, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
When you come here and you tell me that you don't like something, it hits home.
Yeah.
And it's because of that I run around like the chicken with my head cut off, because
For you, it reflects upon you.
Yeah, and I'm not defensive about it. I try not to be defensive.
You're proud.
People are handing over their money. They deserve something good in return. I get that. But I'm sensitive to that because people are telling me all the time. And I grew up in a household where if you did something wrong, I mean, a lot of us our age, well, no, your parents told you.
Oh, yeah.
You're fucking up.
Yeah.
You know, my parents weren't going down to the principal's office saying, why did my son not win the award?
There was no time out.
Yeah.
When I grew up.
So that's gone. I mean, I know I'm off the subject, but that telling you up front that you suck leads to making you better.
It isn't off subject. It's right on subject, because that's the whole point. That's the point where we brought up Rick Ross. You know what I mean? Somebody should pull him to the side and question. Granted, he's the artist, and when it comes to an artist, you don't ask, you know, Monet, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Not saying Rick Ross is Monet, but my point is, you know, obviously he's working and he's putting something out there. But sometimes there's certain lines that I don't think you should cross, and they've been crossed. That's and you know, when you do have that money and you're afforded a certain lifestyle and a certain group of people, you put a group of people around you that's going to promote you. You know what I mean? Build your head up. You know, and sometimes you need to be taken down a notch.
Yep.
You know, it is what it is. What was that clip that you guys were playing earlier?
Oh, it was Shake the Dust.
What is that? A documentary?
Documentary. Nice. Yeah.
And that's you say that's Nas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where is that playing on?
It's on YouTube, the trailer. If you look up Shake the Dust trailer.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do a few things at once. I'm not blowing you off or anything. I just
It's all right.
I don't know what the hell.
You could go to NasirJones.com too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yo,
I'm just trying to do a couple things at once.
Welcome to the land of 1,000 stories.
They're breakdancing in the streets.
Ownership. Hip hop is it's a community. Gives you the sense of, you know, family.
What I think drives a lot of young people to breaking is because of the way it looks, like when people like move up and down, the way they hit the beats, the rhythm.
Hip hop to me is an expression.
The way how they feel deep in their heart.
If people get attracted to something, if something is cool, that means there's a lot of power behind something that's cool.
Hip hop, in the beginning, it was fighting the power, letting your voice be heard, letting people understand about your struggles.
We're not running after fame or fortune. We're running after change.
Something good is around the corner. And if them dancing is going to make them go back to school and really learn something else, then let them dance.
That looks really good.
You're so enthralled. Your face, you're just like
really?
Lost in it.
That's why I should be on Ustream.
Yeah.
Most of the people know,
they're in like Uganda, Cambodia.
All they see is a place for the dark and a place where there is more.
Some time ago, our real stories got lost in the ones that others told.
Have you seen this?
The trailer, yeah. The documentary, no.
We are here to
I don't know if it's out.
That has not yet been told.
We speak in a new language in Uganda. For many of us, our first language is Uganda. But for me,
that's
my
amazing.
Real language, the language of my heart, is hip-hop.
So he just said the language of his heart is hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a moving trailer.
Yeah.
Like, it takes my breath away. I don't know what my face looked like, Marion. But, yeah, I was into
up
it.
In it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Shake the Dust.
Well, that just goes to show you.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that goes to show you the soul. A little, you know, a 2-minute trailer like that, 37,000 views, and is more soul in that trailer than the video that we saw when we opened the show. You know what I mean?
That's a good way to tie it in. Exactly.
And that's what's up, and that's what we want. We want more. We want more soul, right?
Yeah.
We're in agreement here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Rick, man, thanks for hanging out with us. I know I'm sure you're busy. You got to do some prepping with the
restaurant. Yeah, I'll be chopping and dicing.
You got to do it every day, people. Yeah. What's up with the restaurant? Specials? Anything coming up?
We got a lot of stuff going on. We got Malcolm Riddle here.
That's right. We're thinking about doing some wine dinners.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're actually going to we're waiting on Mangria to drop because we're going to do a Mangria wine dinner and have Adam Carolla Skype in.
Hell yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to try to produce that. We'll keep you posted
on music,
that.
Some music maybe coming
up.
Yeah,
yeah, some live music. I talked to my brother about that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the size of this patio
out
here?
It's pretty big. Yeah.
It's huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yep. You say huge. I say huge.
Right. Well, do I say huge?
I say huge.
Oh, so I got a little huge.
Yeah.
And you say huge. Maybe it's the H.
I say huge.
I have a problem with the H. Homage.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. That's just me, you know. I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage.
Sabotage?
Sabotage. It's an inside, super inside joke.
Well, that's very comfortable for me then. You sitting here on the outside of an inside joke. That's great. I love when that happens. When I'm in a group of three and two people start laughing. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, it's not that. It's just an inside joke. Well,
imagine
I couldn't have waited till later when it was just the two of you by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine how the listeners feel.
They feel like me right now.
Sorry. You got your cap on backwards in your hoodie. Yeah, you know what I mean? Representing hip hop. Yeah, and you got some other things. Tell us about the specials, like the Supper Club.
The Supper Club is something that we started, I guess, about in February. And you pay to join. It means $40 a month. And once a month, you get a bottle of wine on the house, specially selected by Malcolm Riddle or myself.
There you go.
Ooh.
And it's something that's not on the wine list. It's exclusive to Supper Club members. Only
membership
Ooh.
Has
and then,
privileges,
and then you get VIP. You get a free starter appetizer anytime you come in here during that month.
Wow!
You also get 25% off any bottle of wine you buy during the month.
Yeah.
In addition to your one free bottle, dinner on your birthday, of course, and then we do special events, you know, tastings, discounts at other area businesses for Supper Club members. We have about 65 members now.
Oh, good for you!
So
that's great.
It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it, especially if you enjoy good food, good wine, great conversation.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's up. And that's important, so we want to make sure. And just to point out, too, being that Desiderio is out in Gainesville, some of you listeners may live closer into the Washington, D.C. area, but as the weather breaks, there are a lot of really good wineries out here. So when you make the trip to come out, check out Desiderio, and you can just plan around that and visit a couple wineries and make a go of it.
Yeah, and we actually, as the weather starts to break in the spring, we actually get a lot of guests coming in from the wineries on their way back. So
that's cool.
They do that.
Yeah. Maybe we should do it. Maybe we should do some wine tours.
Huh? Yeah. You drive the bus?
You know, no. You don't want me driving.
I'll rock the mic.
That's right. Yeah, that would be kind of cool,
We can do a little tour.
Videotape it.
Yeah.
And post it.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So we got all sorts of new and exciting things, people. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks, my man Tyrone, because we had one caller.
Yeah.
Not too bad. A couple technical difficulties. So, once again, for Mariam Tazi and the hip-hop restaurateur Rick Marrero for Desiderio in Gainesville, Virginia. This is your boy Malcolm Riddle saying domino motherfucker.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural charge, bon voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, hubby's on the swamp. Rain on your college ass disco dump. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta go to one killer B and he ain't gonna kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bates. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage and then I dip down. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. House nigga, yes, he's getting a feeling and he's slaying it off. Well, the ghost can be still far, they truth. Well, the Lord's like, well, that fight. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Or for the natural charge, bon voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, her bees on the swamp. Rain on your college ass, it's so dumb. But you didn't even touch my steel. You gotta vote the one killer bee any day for the kill now. Drop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. But any MC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer, Norman Bass. My producer slam, though it's like bam, jump on stage and then I dent. Yeah.